Hey, Zero Block 30 listeners, you can find us every Tuesday and Friday on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and YouTube. Prime members can also listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
Reveille, reveille, reveille!
Another edition of Zero Blog 30. Today we have three rounds of the magazine. Round number one, you might have saw this news, but jets were scrambled over DC this weekend as a civilian plane flew into the restricted airspace. We got the details on that tragedy and the things that unfolded there afterwards. Round number two, it's been a busy week for Congressperson Lauren Boebert, from DNA test to missing a key vote to lying online, getting caught lying online. Just a whole story. Just a very Boebert story, honestly. And finally, we have round number three, Good Initiative, Bad Judgment, which features a Sonic employee who was arrested after losing some cocaine. A podiatrist has been charged with trying to murder his wife for the second time. And finally, there was a man that was so enraged after he was served cauliflower cheese that he went bananas on his spouse, too. Started raising all kinds of cane there. And all that today is going to be brought to you by... Today's show is brought to you by our friends at New Amsterdam Vodka. Barstool Sports recognizes that VFW posts have been pillars of support in their communities for decades. In partnership with New Amsterdam Vodka, Barstool is offering much-needed assistance to support the renovation of a selected VFW post common area. Grant applications are now open, and you can apply by visiting barstoolsports.com/winsforwarriors. We've also made custom undefeated since 1776 shirts that are available to purchase from the Barstool Sports Store. 100% of net proceeds will be donated to support Barstool Sports' mission to make a difference for veterans so that we can learn more. Just go to submit your VFW for consideration at barstoolsports.com/winsforwarriors. Again, grant applications are now open. Visit barstoolsports.com/winsforwarriors to learn more or to submit your VFW for consideration. All right, let's get going with round number one. We're going to do a little jet goofing. Catherine, what do we have here?
Yeah, it's not really goofing. It's very sad story, my friend. I just wanted to ruin that for you right away. I'm sure everybody heard about it by now. I have a friend who lives in the D.C. area, and I was scrolling Facebook, and around 3 in the afternoon, I saw her post. I think I just felt an earthquake, and I didn't know what it was yet. Turns out it was a sonic boom, and Twitter, the internet just lit up around 3:10 p.m. over the weekend. And this is why federal officials are investigating the crash of an unresponsive plane that flew near the U.S. Capitol on Sunday, prompting military fighter jets to rush to intercept the aircraft before it went down near Raphine, Virginia. And that is like boonies of the mountains out of Virginia, leaving no survivors. The intercept caused the sonic boom heard across the Washington region around 3:10 p.m., as F-16 fighter jets were authorized to travel at supersonic speeds.
Quick, off the top of your head, do you remember what supersonic speed is?
Well, it's Mach 1. I think that's like 700 or thereabouts, 700
Very
miles per hour.
Con, 750 miles an hour.
Yeah. Investigators are supposed to arrive at the crash site today, and they will begin the process of documenting this scene and figuring out exactly what happened, because it's truly a mystery. The plane had 4 people on board, and they left Elizabethton, Tennessee, to go to New York's Long Island MacArthur Airport. They get there. They're flying over Long Island when all of a sudden the plane does a hairpin turn. And this is all the way from Tennessee. Plane does a hairpin turn and does almost an exact U-turn and starts heading back. And that's why it starts heading over D.C. and goes all the way over into the mountains of Virginia before it crashes. Air traffic controllers, fighter jets, and other civilian pilots were desperately trying to contact the crew, and they were getting no response at all from the pilot as it barreled towards D.C. at 34,000 feet. 4 first responders, when the plane
really high for a small plane, right?
Like, yeah.
That's like the level you fly at, like, in a commercial plane when you're going on a flight. That's like cruising altitude.
I saw a lot online. Cessnas can be all different sizes and stuff, so this could have been a bigger one, a private jet, essentially, I don't know. But it was at 34,000 feet. Nobody could get a hold of this thing, and it's going over this restricted airspace. And so that's when the jets took off and everyone heard the sonic boom. For first responders, when the plane finally did go down that these sites could track, NORAD and all that, it took them 4 hours of hiking through the woods to even find it. Like, that's how wow. remote. There's no road to get to where this plane crashed. But the four who arrived at the scene, who asked to remain anonymous, said the plane left a crater indicating it went down pretty much like nosedive when it finally did go down. And the flight tracking sites showed that the jet suffered a rapid spiral descent at more than 30,000 feet per minute before it slammed into this remote wilderness. They said there was nothing recognizable, nothing bigger than your arm. Not a single piece from the plane bigger than an arm was left. And they found signs of human remains, but obviously not a survivable thing. The Cessna was registered to Encore Motors in Melbourne, Florida, which is owned by Barbara Rumpel. She and her husband, John, are prominent members of Brevard County, Florida business circles. They're like a big deal in Brevard County, Florida. And John Rumpel told the Washington Post his entire family was on board the Cessna, his daughter, his grandchild, and their nanny, along with the pilot. And I think the granddaughter was only like 2 years old or something, like terribly sad. They were returning to their home in East Hampton, Long Island, after visiting his house in North Carolina, he said. So I don't know if North Carolina, wherever in North Carolina, was close to the airport in Tennessee where he kept his plane. They made it all the way home. They were right there over Long Island when the plane did that hairpin turn and just never made it back and went over to the... So he, Rumpel, a pilot himself, said that he hoped his family didn't suffer and suggested that the plane could have lost pressurization. And sadly, in that case, that's the best you can hope for, is that the plane lost cabin pressure, they all passed out and peacefully died, and that the plane crashed. That's the same thing. Remember the Payne Stewart, the pro golfer?
That's exactly how he died.
That's exactly how he died. He had a Learjet that lost cabin pressure. It flew aimlessly for hundreds of miles and then crashed. This was in 1999, but it was six people on it. And it did the same thing. It was heading towards its destination, did that like weird hairpin turn, flew for hours. Nobody could get a hold of it. And then it just crashed in the wilderness. So people are thinking that that's what it was. Yeah. But at first, obviously, on Sunday, people hear that a plane is heading towards D.C., heading towards the Capitol. These jets have been, and everyone's thinking, it's a wackadoo who's like going to do something terrible. But unfortunately, that doesn't, well, I guess there's no fortunate in this. The whole thing is just incredibly sad. But just tracking that. And it is, not impressive to see, but...
Yeah, we understand.
How quickly these... It's...
The response to the
jets. The response to it, that was, like, incredibly quick. And so...
Must be something, too, if you're the pilot and you're, like, you got to scramble, you can go supersonic speeds, you got to be like, what is going on, man?
Right, exactly. And, like, I want to know, too, like, I don't know anything about that stuff, but what are the logistics of... It's like finding a needle in the haystack. To me, I know you have... I guess you can look up the grid coordinates of the plane or whatever, but going at supersonic speeds to find a Cessna like that, and did they catch up to it before it crashed? And then, of course, all these theories were, well, they shot it down, but I don't think that's the case.
How was there no smoke? Like, all those different things. Yeah, but you think the same thing when somebody's lost at sea. Like, the forest in that area is huge. Like, and if you don't have accurate... radar that's going on, how would you know? Like all those video, there was a dude that just a couple days ago, he survived like 350 something days out at sea. Like he was in the Gulf of Mexico, people had been looking for him, gave up, he was eating bugs, and he would like same thing with the Unbroken story where he was catching different seagulls and try to eat them and everything. He left for 300 and something days. But all those different planes that are going out of the Gulf of Mexico, all the different boats that are there, and he was never – he said he didn't see any boats for that long, like because of how big the water is.
It's crazy, but I'm glad they were able to locate the plane, and just a terrible, really sad story. So
scary, though, for sure, too, for all the civilians just to hear that the jet's coming over you at supersonic speed. So for context – for people who aren't in the New York City area, I'm sure they do something similar in Washington, D.C. area, but certainly in New York City, they are alerted ahead of time if there's going to be jets coming like up the Hudson or something. Anybody who works in a high-rise, for obvious reasons.
Right, they don't want to panic.
Yeah, so for obvious reasons. So they'll say, like, there's going to be two F-18s coming at approximately this time. Don't be alarmed. It's a training exercise. Don't be alarmed. So if you just see two jets you weren't expecting to see,
and that'll get you. And doing a sonic boom.
Yeah, people thought the bomb went off. Like, yeah, it was.
That's the other thing. Jets aren't allowed to fly at those speeds at these altitudes for the exact reason that we're talking about. Yeah. So that's just scary from a lot of different.
Flying 750 miles an hour where people are living and like going about. Kids are out in the street. Like, that's got to be. Because if you haven't been to an air show, like listening to this show, I imagine you probably have gone to an air show. But if you go to an air show and they go sonic boom over, all the different alarms on the cars go off, all kinds of crazy stuff happens.
Yeah, it's crazy. Sad story.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to round number two, which is a little more of a fun story. We have Congressman Boebert. Kate, what happened here?
Colorado Congresswoman Lauren Boebert has taken a DNA test with former pro wrestler Stan Lane to prove that he is not her father after doubts were cast on a court-ordered paternity test taken decades ago. And Nick, who is Stan Lane? What's his vibe? Is he a heel? Is he a bad boy? Is he a good guy?
Do we know, Nick?
No.
We don't know.
Nick doesn't know.
Oh, no, wait. I'm here. I was talking. He's most known for like a commentator, to be quite honest.
Okay.
He goes further back than even like mine. Like, we would need someone old like Brandon Walker to tell us.
So he's like an old
Brandon Walker was extremely old.
Yeah. So this guy's an old school, like from like Jim Crockett Promotions and everything like that. So this is more like Brandon Walker territory. Like, you got to be like,
but he's like an OG WWE, like one of the founding, like not founded, but like he's
like way before. But yes.
Yeah. So she
said he's a big time wrestler guy.
So he trained with Ric Flair. I wouldn't say he's a WWE guy, but he trained with Ric Flair. Okay. That's all you need to know.
More of a WCW guy.
Sorry. Real quick, because I don't know the answer. Is Maury Povich dead or is he alive?
No, very much alive.
He's alive.
Okay,
he's
good.
Alive.
Was he available?
He did my last birth announcement, Hand of God, with me and Pat. Remember that video?
Yeah, that's right.
We got him to do it, and he was, like, so lovely. Anyways.
Well, he probably just heard the name The Beef and was like, I'm in.
He did not do Lauren Boebert's. She had to say for herself, I can confirm that Stan Lane is not my biological father. I personally have never publicly claimed he was my father, but certainly that allegation is out there. The Toby Keith song, Who's Your Daddy, hits a bit differently now. At least she had a sense of humor about it. Boebert's mother, Sean Roberts Bence, when you have a lady from out in the boonies and her name is Sean Roberts, she's going to be having a good fucking time. I'll tell you that much.
She's an absolute wild card.
You got a lady friend.
Ripping Marble Reds.
You got a lady friend named like Dennis Franklin or something like that. She's ripping heaters, okay? That's not. Anyway.
That's the name of somebody who's going to need one of those things that you put up to your neck. Uh-huh. My name is Sean Roberts.
And she was getting bents back in the 80s. She long maintained that
getting
Lane.
Bents over by a wrestler.
Exactly. She said that Lane was Lauren Boebert's father. Benson Lane had a brief relationship in the 80s when he was performing as a tag team wrestler for the American Wrestling Association and Jim Crockett Promotions. And that's a story I want to see. That's a lady's life I'm interested in and that I would probably be friends with.
Quickly, if you had to have it come out that somebody was allegedly your biological father, who are you picking?
Oh, I think Jimmy Carter for me.
That's so boring.
You're boring.
Yeah, but he's a former president.
I love Jimmy Carter. I don't want to do exciting stuff. What do you want? Like fucking Steven?
Steven Seagal? Yes, I would take that one for sure.
Oh, Steven Seagal would be good, yeah.
Hell yes,
That'd
I would.
That'd be a good one.
He'd what teach about me karate. Putin? It would still be a good story. Not my fault.
It would be.
I didn't ask for that.
Yeah.
I have a lot of questions for my mom. That's for sure.
Yeah.
I do think it's incredible that in the year 2023... that we got Congress folks that aren't sure if their dad's a professional wrestler or not. To the point that while they're in office at 36 years old, they feel like they need to. Where did they get his DNA from? Like, where did that even come from?
But I mean,
did she call him up and was like, hey, I think you're my dad?
Everyone said Khloe Kardashian's dad was O.J. Simpson, and she always has to debunk that. Like, people.
I absolutely believe that, too.
And I'm like a couple life choices away from
getting bent over by OJ. Come on.
Yeah. Wait, do you believe that Michael Jordan is Jimmy Butler's father?
Oh.
That's one that's been floating
I've
around
never
recently.
Heard that, but with
oh, you haven't heard that conspiracy?
No.
Oh, well, if you've ever, you know, the internet is the internet, but there's some pictures side by side that show some similarities. The timelines with Jimmy's mother kind of time up with Jordan, so it's a theory, but it's out there.
Well, right. Back in the 80s, all I know is Lauren Boebert's mom was late one time, and here's Lauren Boebert, you know what I mean? And speaking of late, Lauren Boebert, again, she claimed that she intentionally missed the House vote on the debt ceiling deal after reports that she actually tried to attend but was too late. The Colorado Republican emerged as one of the fiercest critics of the debt ceiling deal, brokered by House Leader Kevin McCarthy and President Joe Biden to avoid a catastrophic default. But when it was time for the House of Reps to cast their votes Wednesday night, she didn't show up. So she took to social media and was like, good, I didn't want to be there anyway. Good, good.
Yeah, so before anybody knew, and there's this video that was taken by one of the staffers at CNN, before anybody knew that she actually was late, she went on social media and was like, I am so against this that I didn't show up. It was like a protest of absentia, essentially. She didn't say absentia, but it was a protest that I didn't like what was going on. This is a crap sandwich. Made this.
Sorry, why was that? Sorry, I'm blanking on what is the word? Not sanitized.
Censored.
Thank you. I don't know why I couldn't think of the word censored. Why was the word crap censored in this article?
I don't know. And it was this article's by The Independent. I'm not sure. But she did this big thing how her and her ilk always do. Like, we're against everything. The budget's going up $36 trillion, even though it's just about paying your bills. Has nothing to do with moving the debt, the debt higher. It's just the debt ceiling so we could pay our debts. Well, she was caught on CNN by one of CNN's camera people running up this, the steps of the Capitol, and you could hear her high heels going click, 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 as she runs up the steps, and you could hear her telling like an assistant or a staffer, did I make it? Did I miss it? I missed it? And then she's still trying to get up there, but for the grace of God go I. I'm sure we've all had those moments in our lives where
I'm the latest lady in town. Oh, yeah.
Well, not even that, where you said something and immediately were caught. I think the most common example of that is when you're talking shit about somebody else in the text message directly, and then you're taking a screenshot to somebody else, and then you happen to send it to the person that you were texting with fun of. And then you got to come up with an excuse about the reason why. Like, I had one of mine was I was at Quantico, and we used to have the Nextel, beep, 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 to Nextel. Mm-hmm. And if you got beat by somebody else, then they hopped into the beep thing too, and you had to look down to see who it was coming. Well, I was in a conversation with Lugo, and we were going back and forth about one of the other staff NCOs that neither one of us liked. And I was like, this bitch is doing this and that and this and that. And then she hopped on to the Nextel. Like, she was the next beep beep.
Oh, no.
And she was the only woman staff NCO in the entire company. And there's two people I hated. I hated her, and I hated the guy who was the kennel master, Staff Sergeant Sean Manthu was his name. Didn't like that guy. And so she hopped in, and she was like, who are you talking about? Because she was still, like, senior to me. She was, like, she was outranked me. And I was trying to come up with a story right in the middle, and I was like, I knew it was you. I was just kidding. And she was like, no, you didn't come see me.
Yeah, okay.
I was like, God, here we go.
Shit.
So that was mine. Do you guys have any ones like that?
I texted my mom once, and when I was like a freshman in college, and I was super fucked up one night, and it was I thought I was sending it to a friend about how fucked up I was and how much I was partying and how awesome it was to have all this freedom, and I had sent it directly to my mom by accident. And I woke up the next morning with like 20 missed calls, and I was like,
each one of the missed calls makes it worse and worse.
It was a terrible, terrible feeling. But yeah, no, got caught on that.
Con
stuff.
I'm racking my brain, and I cannot think of any instances. And I even asked Alex of an example, and she couldn't remember any either. So, of course, that just means in the next week or so, I will probably do
this.
Can't
wait. Yeah, that'll be a nice one to update. No
I'll keep you guys posted.
All right, let's move on to round number three. Today's show is also brought to you by Proper Wild. If you suffer from symptoms of ADHD, like a lack of focus, no productivity, your brain is constantly wandering, you need to check out Proper Wild's clean all-day energy shots. Proper Wild uses organic caffeine stacked with L-theanine, which has clinically been proven to boost your energy, focus, productivity without the jitters or that crash. There's no preservatives, no artificial flavors, no horrible chemicals, just a natural tasting energy shot with clean ingredients that work. I love it every single morning. I have it. I haven't been drinking as much coffee because I have this. I'll give it a little pump into my old veins, and I feel good. I feel energetic. I feel ready to go. You're going to feel that way, too, if you go to properwild.com/barstool to try out Proper Wild for 30% off. What do we have here, Kate? Oh, good initiative.
Good initiative, bad judgment. First off, Sonic employee. A New Mexico Sonic employee got arrested after allegedly losing his bag of cocaine while preparing a hot dog. And to this I say, who among us? Okay.
Right.
Who among us?
And honestly, you kind of expect that at Sonic, right?
You do. What else are you there? The chopped ice, a little chopped
cocaine. Putting
cocaine
on a chili dog.
54-year-old Jeffrey David Salazar was arrested after a woman...
That's the surprise.
This is the surprise.
Yes.
54 years old, having coke and a hot dog.
Well, not in New Mexico. Not in New Mexico. That's not surprising. But here's the big surprise.
Go ahead.
Where did the cocaine go that he lost? This woman opens her bag of food, and there is the cocaine. He accidentally put it in her bag. She discovered the baggie after taking a bite of her hot dog.
Okay. If you had coke in your hot dog, like a little baggie of coke, little gram of coke, would you know? Like if it came, or would you assume that it's like powdered sugar?
If it was in a bag.
I know you're not a cocaine guy. Would you?
No.
Would your immediate thought go to this is cocaine?
Well, I mean, I've watched enough television, movies, whatever, to know that the size of a bag of cocaine is a very particular size. So I think I would know, or at least assume. Either way, I'm taking this all the way up, and I'm suing Taco Bell. And
Sonic,
is that Taco Bell?
Yeah.
Sonic. Sorry. Yes. I'm suing.
Hey,
sorry, Taco
Bell. Taco
Bell
too.
You don't want Taco
Bell doing
hot dogs,
friend. I'm getting a bag out of this, an actual bag of money.
Well, the woman who got the hot dog made a great point. Thank God she didn't absentmindedly hand the hot dog back to like a kid in the back seat or something, who wouldn't know what the fuck that was or something like that.
Kill him, legitimately.
Yes. The best part is that officers, there's a surveillance video of Salazar frantically searching for something he lost after he handed the hot dogs out the window. And I would just love to see that.
Because if you're having bags of cocaine and working at Sonic, that doesn't come easy. Like, you're putting in quite a bit of hours making a little blizzard.
That's true. Like, I don't know what drugs cost, but I don't think they're that inexpensive. And honestly, the 54-year-old part really just threw me, because I think if you're anything north of 28 and still doing drugs recreationally like that...
Oh, I'd bump those numbers up. I think that number's got to be, I'd say 35. To me, 35, past 35, there is no, you're young and immature.
Right. Like, yeah,
35,
yeah, yeah.
35... You better be a damn near full-on adult.
If you're doing it past 35, maybe you're like just like a high-functioning person and you do it, whatever. But I just think most people who, you know, do like party drugs, for lack of a better explanation, past a certain age, you're just a loser.
Let me tell you something. Once my kids are grown and out of the house, I'm allowing myself one big festival weekend a year where my old ass is going to go. You'll see me down at Burning
Those
Man.
Those beers?
I'm going to do whatever the hell I want. My wrinkly ass out in the sun at my own little campsite. I'll be like 65. Especially if I find out.
You do like mushrooms and be fine.
If I find out I'm terminal, you guys better watch out, because I'm just free basing wherever the hell I'm
going.
Oh, yeah.
If I'm ever terminal, I'm giving meth a go. Like, there's just not. I'm doing something.
Yeah, I'm going on a whole round. Anyway, I'm going to say that's bad initiative, bad judgment, man. You can't bring your cocaine to Sonic.
Bad initiative, bad judgment.
I think it's good initiative to bring your cocaine to Sonic if you need a little pick-me-up, if you're working a long shift.
Right.
And you need to stay awake. But I think it's bad judgment to
bad
do it.
Bad judgment.
Like, I understand
could hurt
why,
somebody.
Bad judgment.
Could hurt somebody. All right. Number two, a former podiatrist from Ramapo has been charged with trying to get his wife murdered for the second time. In 2017, Ira Bernstein and his then-girlfriend pleaded guilty to offering a car salesman $100,000 to kill Bernstein's wife, Susan. And I'll tell you this, I've watched a lot of Dateline. Normally, the going rate's like 10 grand. 100 grand is a lot of clams to kill somebody. He got caught.
I completely agree. Not only that, but if your name is Susan, you can almost guarantee a hitman's coming for you at some point.
100%. You took the words right out of my mouth. You took the words.
I mean...
The crazy thing is, like, $100,000, like, you definitely want that person to die. He only got four years in prison for it. On Friday, The Rockland County District Attorney said between July and September of last, and this is NYC suburbs, by the way, and we don't mess around with our hired killings around here, I'll tell you that much. Anyway, between July and September of last year, the 49-year-old Bernstein tried to have his wife killed again. This time, crazy that they didn't get divorced after that first time, by the way.
They tried to kill me again.
Again. Bernstein's sister got indicted. Jacqueline Goldberg, 40, allegedly conspired with her brother after in destroying evidence of the solicitation. He was indicted by a grand jury, blah, 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 blah. So, yeah, I'm going to say to his wife, maybe divorce him now.
Yeah, divorce him I think now. That's when you got a divorce. Is after one... Why would you do that? Like, you already went to prison 4 years. Why would you say, like, just go anywhere else in the world?
The only
world.
Thing
just,
I can
you
think...
If hate her that much, just get away from Suze.
Maybe he was also a psychology major, and he's like, no one's going to look at me twice. And the second time I'm free and clear, no one's going to suspect
maybe he thought
it
he had
again.
Double jeopardy.
I don't know. Anyway, that's bad initiative, listen, bad judgment. You can't kill
your it's bad initiative, bad judgment, and it just goes back to what we've said. Like, trying to commit crimes, especially murder for hire these days, you're just an idiot. You can't be trying to commit crimes.
Too many receipts.
That guy went to hireahitman.com? Is that what
it was? Yeah. Yeah, you can't do that anymore. You can't do that.
All right, let's do our Katie News Roundup. Kate, what we got here?
Okay.
Today's show is also brought to you by Telemind. Telemind is a mental health solution that specializes in serving our military community. With a team of experienced and compassionate clinicians, Telemind offers accessible and confidential therapy and psychiatric sessions online. Make it easy for service members, veterans, and families to get the support they need no matter where they are. Whether it's coping with PTSD, anxiety, depression, or any other mental health challenge, Telemind is committed to providing our military members with resources that they need to thrive. I cannot recommend them enough. I use Telemind for my psychiatric needs, and my provider, whose name is Stacy. Stacy told me that because this was our last session before I actually moved to Chicago, that she was going to connect me with somebody that could connect me with a psychiatrist when I move. You don't get that kind of service from a lot of places where they actually look at somebody that they think can connect you and connect you well. I think that's one of the best things that Telemind does. Well, except for the normal services, of course, that has helped me and reshape my life, because she was the first person to really diagnose me correctly, and so I really appreciate what she's done for me. Telemind has licensed and qualified clinicians who have experience working with military and veterans, and Telemind has flexibility of scheduling options. It allows members to book time at their own convenience for them, wherever they are. Take the first step on your journey. Visit telemind.com or call 866-991-2103 to get started, and it's spelled TELEMYND.com, or you could call 866-991-2103 to get started.
Okay. News roundup: Fort Bragg is now officially Fort Liberty.
Oh, wait, we skipped one.
Yes, we did. I didn't know if you wanted me to, because you said, okay.
No, this one's my favorite.
Number three, for good initiative, bad judgment, a Downend man became, where is that? Is that Australia?
No, UK? It's England.
Oh, England. Mm-hmm. A Downend man became so enraged when he was served cauliflower cheese on his birthday that he turned into King Kong, according to the courts. Timothy Robinson looked dead in his eyes, telling his partner, "Do you want to see the real Timothy?" That's never a good thing. Nobody wants to see the real Timothy. With that,
no.
She described how, looking like King Kong, he began snarling, took a bread knife out of a drawer, and held it to her face. Buddy, that's abuse. Can't do that.
Yeah. Well, he went to prison for, that's where the ultimate end of this story. He went to prison for assault with a deadly weapon. So, but I thought that part's not funny. I think we could go ahead and put that out there. Not funny. But right. To be so enraged by cauliflower cheese. Buddy, that's me. Annalise comes in making a pot of chili and she puts in cauliflower cheese. I'm furious.
I'm telling you. Cauliflower these days is masquerading as so many other things. Mm-hmm. And don't get me wrong. Like a cauliflower pizza once in a while, it's not bad. It's not bad. Cauliflower rice. But, Chaps, you hit the nail on the head. Mm. I need to know what I'm getting when I go into it. If I think I'm getting real cheese and you give me cauliflower cheese, I'm a little
prepared. Then I'll tell you what. You two, get your lazy butts up, go to the kitchen, and make your own cheese. How about them
I make my own food all the time. I cook, too. Mm-hmm. Don't let Annalise hear that because she cooks like 95% of the time, but every now and then I'll throw together.
I mean, for all intents and purposes, I live with a private chef, if I'm being honest.
She's amazing.
Annalise is a great cook too, yeah. So we have that, but you need to know because just because something's vegan or it's meat-free or whatever doesn't mean it's healthy. You got to know cauliflower cheese and all that vegan, the Good Burgers or Morningstar or whatever, they all have a ton of non-natural
ingredients. Dude, I thought Chipotle was healthy for the longest time, and it's like the highest calorie fast food joint that there is. Yeah. I thought, because I'm like, oh, they're cooking it right here. Look how fresh. It's like, no, bitch.
You know what really gets you, too, as far as that stuff goes? Whenever you – I forgot what I was going to say. Just right there in the middle.
Okay.
Right there in the middle. I thought – oh, salads. When you go out to eat a salad, you never think that a salad is going to have an insane amount of calories. The quesadilla explosion salad from our friends at Chili's,
that bad boy's
like 2,800 calories.
Sorry to say, I think that it's in the name. You hear of anything with explosion, and I'm just thinking a lot of calories.
That's my favorite salad's a hoagie salad. It's just a chopped up Italian sub.
That's just a sandwich that they just mushed up.
Yeah, so anyway, yeah.
All right, well, put some cauliflower cheese on that bad boy. Let's do some news roundup. Kate, what do we have here?
Three quick stories that are buzzing around the interwebs. First off, over the weekend, everybody was talking about Fort Bragg officially becoming Fort Liberty. And guess what? Nobody died. Life went on. Everyone's okay.
I hate that name. Hate it.
Well, I'll tell you where it came from. There was all this scuttlebutt, and why didn't they pick a fallen troop or something like that, a gold medal, Medal of Honor recipient. Gold Star fan.
Yeah.
Well, it was actually Gold Star mother Patty Elliott who submitted the name Liberty to the huge list of potential renames. In 2011, Patty's son Daniel Lucas Elliott, he was a 21-year-old MP who was killed by an IED in Basra, Iraq. And most of the submissions, in the end, there was like 87 different names for the fort that they were looking to rename it, and almost all of them were names. This was one of only like two or three that wasn't names. But all those submissions got to stand up and state their case, I guess. And she talked about how he had tattoos of Americans' flags, that liberty was the cause he was fighting for and that everyone on this base fights for. And I guess she made such a compelling case in telling the story of her son that it worked. They ended up going with Liberty. So that's the story behind that. She was there
still
over the week.
I still hate it.
Yeah.
She was there over the weekend when they changed the name. But everybody,
I understand the reason why.
It's a nice story.
It's a compelling story, but I hate the name.
Yeah, I think a lot of people do, but... happy for her, though. I'm glad that she got that. Anyways,
good initiative, bad judgment.
Yeah, good initiative, bad. I can't say that about a girl. Well, you say it, not me. I'm not saying it.
I said it, yeah.
Okay. But life went on. Everything's okay. A lot of people were like, this is the end of the military. It's like, nope, everything's fine. Okay. Story number two. Do you remember a few weeks ago on the beach outside Camp Pendleton? I think it was like north of Camp Pendleton. These two Marines were beaten by a group of 40 teenagers. Do you remember that? It was over Memorial Day weekend.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It was big in the news. And these Marines, I think they went and did interviews with the New York Post and stuff, and they were like, we were just walking alone by ourselves, and they came and attacked us, and we got our asses beat. And remember I said to you guys, I was like, there's no fucking way that they were just innocently walking by and got their asses. Like, if I remember my early Marine Corps days scuttling around Oceanside, bored and drunk with my buddies... we didn't innocently stumble into trouble, okay? There was always...
there's no innocent stuff like you... what?
So
no,
anyway...
you weren't.
But I mean, there was... and they... pictures posted them all beat up, and people are like, this is what's wrong with teens these days, blah, blah, blah. Like, it's out of control. Well, it turns out this Instagram account appeared called @GetTheTruthOut, and it's @get_the_truth_out. Get the truth out. You can go look at it yourself. And... it's somebody who was there at the party who says, and this was the tagline on it, the Marines haven't been telling the truth about the fight. They allegedly assaulted numerous minors and allegedly sexually assaulted a teenage girl. Some of the posts that are there include the Marines sitting at a picnic table, boozing with these 10th and 11th graders for hours before the fight. One of the Marines has a big bottle of liquor in front of them. They're giving these kids that they know were in high school liquor. One of the videos is the Marine making a video for one of the teens' moms asking if she could stay out later. There are DMs and messages from kids who were there saying the Marines were picking on some of the other high school kids and, like, trying to start a fight before all this went down. And so now I think it's being looked at in a different light. Even sites like the New York Post, who at first were like outraged, these poor Marines, have also changed their tune, and they're like, looks like these Marines were partying with high school kids for a long time before shit went south. So more to that story. Do your own research, but looks like there might be a little more to that story than you thought there might be.
Yeah, I mean, do we know how old these Marines were, the ones who got beat up? Were they younger?
If it was like what we did back in the day, they were probably PFC Lance Corporals. I'm sure. I'll have to look up the story again, but yes, I'm sure.
It could be like 19, maybe 20, so the idea of hanging out with somebody who's 17, maybe 18, that's not that crazy. But also, I think this goes to what I was saying a few weeks ago about how, like, we just like to, like, blanket come to the defense of veterans and active duty service members, when you should always, you know, go a little bit further and get all the details before you just blanketly defend somebody just because they're a Marine, where these guys clearly and girls were clearly in the wrong.
You guys know we're all about keeping it real. So let's talk about something making a real change for vets and active duty right now. Zyn nicotine pouches. If you're looking for a new way to enjoy nicotine, America's number one nicotine pouch comes in 10 varieties, like wintergreen, spearmint, and coffee, and two strengths, 3 milligrams to kick off your experience and 6 milligrams to take it up a notch. Zyn is smoke-free, spit-free, and hands-free, giving you more freedom to move. Plus, it comes as is. No batteries or devices needed to get your Zyn on, which is one less thing to worry about on your next trip to the PX. Look, when it comes to making a change, we know progress is more important than perfection. Zyn knows it too, because everyone's on a different path. If you're curious about what a premium nicotine experience looks like, head to your local convenience store, PX, or Zyn.com to find out. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical.
But yeah, when we underage, you go out in town and you try and find something to do. And if you see a big party happening on the beach, you're probably going to sniff it out a little bit and see what's going on. Mm-hmm. So anyway, more to that story. And then finally, the last one, Military.com came out with a big story this week following a years-long investigation that revealed the USS Boxer unintentionally contaminated and poisoned its own water supply for their own troops on board the ship when they illegally dumped a shitload of diesel fuel into the ocean. And then, since they were sitting in their giant illegal diesel fuel dump in the ship, well, the ship sucked up all the poison water back into the ship, and it went right into the water supply. Sinks, laundry machines, the mess hall. These troops had to bathe in it, cook with it, drink it. They said that the smell aboard the ship was so powerful that they knew there's no way it could be safe. They were all getting sick. And yet their command told them the water is safe, the water is safe, the water is safe. Travis Sellers, a 20-year-old Lance Corporal at the time, said, this ship is actually trying to kill us. Like, all the young troops were like, we know this is wrong. And their leadership told them, you're fine, you're being dramatic. They've suffered all sorts of health issues since then. And damn if it isn't always the same old story. The troops in Hawaii last year or the year before were told, your water is safe, it's fine. It wasn't.
Lejeune.
The troops at Lejeune were told, the water is safe, you're fine. It wasn't. So moral of this story...
Camp Naha, and Okinawa. I mean, it's all over... Camp Pendleton. I mean, it happened at Fort Polk. Like, all over the place. I think that you should be able to sue. This
100%.
Happens so often. If there's command negligence, and you know, and it's documented that they know,
and that
I feel
they
like you should be
up.
Able to sue your branch of service. Because that has nothing... If this happened, let's say it happened and we're at war, we're in the Baltic Sea, and this happens, I feel like that's completely different. Like, if the mission changes to the fact that you have to do things in an expeditious way, I think that's drastically different.
But you still tell troops,
exercise.
Don't drink the water. You still
right.
tell
you
them.
You can still do all of those things, right. But it's more understandable if it's a time of active conflict because you can't. Leave
your resources aren't as readily available. Yeah.
Right. But if you're just sitting outside of Roanoke, Virginia, and you're making people drink diesel water, you should be held accountable for that. The
bachelor
should be held accountable for that.
Absolutely. Leadership should be held accountable all the way up to.
But they won't be because they're not a lieutenant colonel or below.
And the military.com had a real hard time getting a hold of anybody who was in charge of that. And a bunch of troops who were on board the ship, I was looking at their social media because they were all speaking out, all these troops that were aboard the ship. And a lot of the common sentiment was, the worst part was we knew it was wrong and that we knew nobody was going to be held accountable for what happened to us.
Yep, and you know who's gonna help out these people that were on the boat? The VFW. The people that are doing the legislation and they're doing all kinds of different things and trying to get stuff right. just like they did with the PACT Act, there is no doubt that all the people that are on the USS Boxer are going to have the assistance of the legislative department of the VFW. No doubt in my mind.
Yeah. Really quickly, sorry, because I don't understand. I've never been on a ship. What does it have to do? Like, why is there water getting sucked up back into the ship and then being repurposed for, I don't know, cleaning or showers? Is that how it works?
That's how, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, does it filter it?
I don't understand why we're going to have water problems. Like, if we could just do that.
So wait, filters salt water?
They have to make these ships the most as sustainable as possible, because what if you are caught out in the ocean during wartime and you can't get water resupply? One of the things that makes it most valuable is being able to use that water again. And basically, it dumped like a shit ton of fuel and just sat in it and kept sucking it back up.
If you're a water bubba, do you call that in the Army too, the water bubba?
Yeah, water bubbas.
Yeah.
If you're a water bubba or water sister, if you want to tell us how that works, I'd love to know.
I'd be interested.
Does it steam and you connect? Where does all the salt go?
Is that because here's what I want to know. For the Jell-O? Yeah. For the Jell-O? Is that they use in the mess?
Saltpeter.
Right, because like if it's going through a filtration system, in theory, it should filter out all that other extra bad stuff. But maybe it can only filter some stuff and not the other stuff. I don't know. I'm going to claim ignorance on this one.
That's a good. You would think that these crazy filters would be able to pick up on diesel fuel.
Yeah, and like set off some alarms.
There has to be sensors.
I would think.
Is what I'm saying, and there probably was big signs that things were not right, and there they were, stuck living in it. So not a good time.
But I'm sorry. Last thing, and then this just occurred to me too. Leadership there, unless they have a separate leadership supply of water, but they have to live on that ship and use the same water. So why wouldn't they? Maybe they were all oblivious to this happening.
Read the story on military.com is all I can tell you, and you probably won't think that. But military.com, check that story out. These were just quick snippets of each one. Look each of those up. But pretty crazy stories over the interwebs this week.
Very crazy stories. Let's move on to some safe rounds and alibis. Today's show is also brought to you by Omaha Steaks. With Father's Day right around the corner, what do you give to the man that loves you and has bought you everything and has done everything and all those different things that good dads, not deadbeats, good dads do? If your dad is a deadbeat, don't go to Omaha Steaks. He doesn't deserve it. He doesn't deserve it at all. Well, Father's Day experts at Omaha Steaks have made it easy to put a smile on the big guy's face this summer with hand-selected packages. Head over to omahasteaks.com, use the promo code ZBT at checkout, and you're going to get $30 off your qualifying order. Packages can include fork tender, bacon wrap, filet mignons, or other gourmet grillables like the air-chilled boneless chicken breast, burgers, jumbo franks, and many more favorites. Don't forget to save room for desserts, because most of the gift packages come with four delicious caramel apple tartlets. They are delicious, and might I recommend cooking those bad boys in the air fryer, because they are delicious, especially with a little scoop of vanilla ice cream. My God. Also, check out the other hand-selected packages that are guaranteed to make Dad's day. Because if there's one thing dads know, it's that dads want steaks. Whether he's your father, father-in-law, father figure, he's the guy that was ready to step up when you needed him the most. This Father's Day, show him the love with the only gift that is truly unforgettable, as he is the mouth-watering perfection of Omaha Steaks. From perfectly aged, oh-so-tender steaks to handcrafted gift packages, Omaha Steaks make it easy to give Dad what he really wants. Order today and get $30 off with promo code ZBT, and every purchase is backed by their unconditional money-back guarantee. Minimum order may be required. See the site for details. All right, let's move on to some save rounds and alibis. Cons, today we'll start with you.
Okay, this week, obviously, we have the anniversary of D-Day, and I always do my Band of Brothers rewatches. One I do at D-Day and one at Christmas time. I don't know why. That makes sense in my head, so I'm going to be doing that.
You do it twice a year.
Twice a year I watch.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. I really enjoy it. I don't know. Maybe I'll turn it into something. Maybe I'll review each episode, or maybe Chaps and I can talk about the episodes.
Yeah, let's do it together. We'll go through one by one.
I would like that. All right, so we'll figure that out, and we'll do that separate from the episodes. Number two, yesterday, Sunday, had a softball tourney, an annual softball tourney that I play in. It's a charity thing for a friend's family. Yes, for the first time in the five-year existence, we did win the championship, which was exhilarating. But I have to tell you, like, I'm still in shape, but I realize I can't do things anymore without, like, extensive stretching. I'm not talking, like, you know, just, like, a few stretches. If I want to go play softball, because I don't play softball consistently like I used to maybe, like, 5 years ago.
I love the idea of Cons doing dynamic warm-ups.
Right. But that's what
some
it bear takes.
Crawls right before
that's what it would take. That's what it would take for me to not be sore after playing softball, because I only got one speed. I'm not going to go out there and half-ass it. I try
I
very
skipping.
Hard. Yeah. So I'm a little sore today from playing softball. Maybe I need to – hopefully when I move, I find a softball league and I can get back into softball more regularly. And then last thing, so this past weekend, Alex and I had a wedding to go to, which is always an interesting – I think this is the first one we've gone to where she's been pregnant. So clearly it's not the same approach when we're, you know, both enjoying ourselves at a wedding. But I was thinking to myself, because I only knew a couple people there. And as soon as the ceremony ended, Alex was with her pals, and I was like, "You good?" And she said, "Yeah." And I just went off on my own, explored around. I made friends. I saw a gentleman having a cigar, so I just walked up, struck up a conversation with that guy, talked to him for 20 minutes. He gave me a very nice cigar. So I was thinking that weddings are one of my skill sets. Like, it's an intangible type thing. Like, you put me at a wedding, doesn't matter how many people I know, I'm going to be out on the dance floor. I'm going to be making friends. I'm going to have a good outfit. I'm good at weddings.
I don't think it has anything to do with weddings, Cons. That's just who you are in every – you're a schmoozer. Yeah. Like, I think that you go out and you schmooze with people. You make connections. Nothing to do with weddings.
But it's you're just exactly –
you could be in fucking Chick-fil-A and do it.
That's exactly who I want at my wedding, though. Like, you are exactly who I want at my event. And any
Cons
case.
Is a great spot. If there's a canopy involved and people are drinking underneath it, Cons needs to go.
And that's
sign
my kind
up.
Of
canopy
guy.
Cons,
yeah,
that's what they call them, yeah.
Yeah. So, but my question to you guys is, like, what's that, like, scenario in life where if I plop you down in that scenario, you're good at it?
VFW. Sitting in one. I think I'm fine there.
Going out, hole in the wall, Jersey Shore, bar crawling.
Oh, yeah.
Anything where, with a group drinking, where we set our minds to having a good time, I'm going to have a good time. You want me there. I won't be a bad viber, but maybe, as long as there's no tequila.
True.
Oh, yeah, tequila, I tell you what, that's one liquor I hope after the pregnancy my wife steers clear of, because
it's tough.
Just,
yeah,
probably
going to
get a text
like a
any second now getting yelled at.
True.
So.
Ugh.
Margaritas, well, they slay. Anything else, Cons?
No, that's all I got.
Nicholas, we're going to bring you on because I saw on Twitter that you had possibly the most outrageous christening menu that I've ever seen. One, I've never seen a christening menu at all.
Okay, Texas, come to the Northeast sometime, pal.
Yeah, I think that's just a Northeast Catholic thing, especially, sorry, I don't think this is discriminatory in any way. The Italians just do everything different from everybody, the Italian Catholics, even more so than the rest of us Catholics. The Italian
Catholics
everything and make it a thing.
Irish Catholics, they do it big, but they don't do it as fancy as the Italian Catholics do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, Nick, what happened this weekend?
Yeah, so, no, just standard operating procedure in the good household where we had so my son's baptism is coming up, and there's been about 2 months of going back and forth about what this menu is going to be, and this was the result.
Are you involved or no?
I am absolutely not involved.
Attaboy.
I know better than to give any input. The only input I give is, and I was supposed to proofread it, which I thought I did, but obviously I didn't look. You know, it's like, hey, does everything look good here? I said, absolutely yes. So salad was spelled wrong at the top. That's the one big issue. That's the one big issue we have. But the menu itself is spectacular.
It really was. It looked like a nice wedding.
It's essentially baptisms and communions up here in the New York, and like especially North Jersey. It's like wedding level. Like really
good.
Yeah,
we were talking before we started recording. You guys were saying it's just so, like, for me being raised Baptist is so wild. You guys are having like prime rib and all filet mignon. I'm out here eating banana pudding and fucking catfish.
There's probably going to be about 120 people there.
Yeah.
Well, so that's the other thing, Chaps. Like, Chaps, you've watched Sopranos, right? Or have you not?
No, I haven't.
Okay, well, if you'd anybody who's watched Sopranos knows, like, the Italians, it's like, you don't even, you could be like three levels removed from the family, and you still get invited to these things. And if you don't show up, it's talked about, and you better have a good reason why you're not there, or it's an insult. Correct me if I'm wrong, Nick.
Oh, no, you're correct. There's an actual cousin who's not my cousin, who my parents claim is. He's Cousin Peter, and he has six people coming.
Yeah.
I've met him once, and I didn't know he was my cousin until about probably a year and a half ago.
Now, wait apparently a minute. Is this because of the menu? Because if people are coming out and they're just getting free meals, I'm on board with that. Like, if the family's like, oh, they got hot dogs and fucking Costco little chicken wraps, I'm not in.
So here's the backstory to this. So Cousin Peter, who now is my cousin, has been very gracious to my parents, inviting them at their old age over to eat at his place for free, mm-hmm. which is, it's a huge spread every time. So I think their way of getting, of giving back is to invite him to my son's baptism. And then the other thing I'll say is that, so this is very patriarchy of me, but I have a daughter, but the boy, he is the only boy on my side of the family. So this is a big deal for the Italian, especially of those of old age, mm-hmm. to get the boy is a very big deal. So there will be no expense when it comes to this child. I mean, we have, let's see right here, we have slow roasted certified Angus prime rib served with roasted garlic, mashed potatoes, and a natural au jus as one of the main courses.
I love a natural au jus.
I love it.
Yeah, I'll probably be live streaming this event.
Well, Chaps, too, to answer your question, it's not a free meal because everyone's also bringing a gift.
Oh yes, there's a nice gift in there.
What are we talking here?
Oh, it's there is only one gift. You do not bring
cash?
You cannot bring an object.
And my communion?
Not just about that. Like, you have a baby and you have to pay for 115 people's food.
The godfather and the godmother will get him like a cross or something like that, right? And that number needs to be
maybe a set of rosaries
disclosed as well. Yes, that you need to know how much that is, so it's fully transparent. But then everyone is required if that envelope. Going to go on a weight scale. Let's just say that.
Okay.
Yeah, my communion party, I made like so much fucking money. It was one of the best, you know. We didn't have the au jus sauce.
You should do that again, Kate, right before
I should
you
get
move.
I should get rebaptized and do a cash. Big party. Well, no, yeah. Wait,
Kate, did you get confirmed?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, I figured. All right, I was going to say maybe
altar girl Katie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was big. I was in deep.
That's good.
We do the soft pretzel crucifixes at our big baptisms and stuff like that. It's a different vibe than Nick's. It's the Irish, but whatever. Yeah. Anyway,
more of a mummer's vibe.
As for me, over the weekend, Team Foster, they connect like civilians, veterans, and really highly trained service dogs, because you guys know the service dog world can be a real slippery place. They are like the most legit, most wonderful veterans ever. And so they were doing a 24-hour stationary bike ride in Citizens Bank Park where the Phillies play. But there was teams. But there was one guy there who just graduated from Penn who's going into the Naval Academy who did the full 24 hours alone by himself on a stationary bike.
Wait, graduated from Penn and then he's going to the Naval Academy?
Or he's going to be a Navy officer. So he's going to the whatever it is.
Okay. OCS.
OCS, my bad.
Like a weird move.
No, my bad. But he did the full 24 hours by himself, alone, the stationary bike. I know. I did 30 minutes and my tuchus is killing me.
You wanted to have, like, Katie good vibes and it said, like, you were 12 minutes in. I was like, that's struggle bus Katie. She's already there. But doing it pregnant, what else do you expect?
I only did 30 minutes, though. It was pathetic. But it was a really fun event. But just like Cons was saying about being sore after playing softball, I woke up the next morning and I was like, no, bitch, you are not sore right now. But I was, and that's very sad. So
I took a cold bath. I did a cold plunge when I got home last night to rejuvenate my muscles.
It's unbelievable. They
don't bounce back. Which, you know, I think about, like, you ask yourself, how does someone like Tom Brady play as long as he does? It's stretching, man. It's not about what you eat, the weights.
$500 million to get every help.
You have the
I'm
best
telling you, it's all stretching.
Best it's diet. Stretching. It's a lot easier to be healthy when you could be like, hey, go make me something healthy right now.
Oh, but
nobody gets up and does it.
You know who was there? Pat Murphy, one of the big overturners of Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Got to see him, which was wonderful. And there's a lot of veterans there who I've like circled with online, but finally getting to meet them. And then the founder, Nick Lierman, I'm probably getting his last name wrong, but his wife was also a Fort Leonard Wood MP. So I'm riding the bike and she's over talking to me about Specker area. She was awesome. She owns a gym and I was too ashamed to look at her because she was like an in-shape veteran and I'm not. But no, it was just awesome. It was just really good vibes, which is so refreshing every now and then. It's easy to get a little jaded sometimes with veteran stuff. And it was just such a good it was just a treat. It was great. So shout out Team Foster.
I think that's important to point out, Kate, that there is a lot of stuff going on in the veteran community, but
there's so much good.
Just about as much bad, there's so much good, if not more good.
Oh, there's way
more.
That just
doesn't get the same, way more good. Same highlights.
Anyway, that's it for me.
All right, so I'm sore too. The whole squad's sore this week. I'm sore from prepping for moving. Let me just say, this whole idea of fucking staging, getting things out, and you know what? I'm going to stop cussing so much on this podcast because it makes Nick's life so much more difficult. So I'm going to go back to my old ways. We're going to really reduce the amount of cursing that we're here.
Thank you. I've been waiting years for this.
And in fact, I'm going to have myself an own little personal cursing jar. So every time the episode, if I cuss, somebody counted out, one of the listeners counted out, every time I cuss, I'll donate $2 to Patrol Base Abate for every swear word that I say on the show. So I'm going to try to reduce it. But also, if I don't, then fuck it. We get a lot of
There's
money.
Another one. Yeah, Chaps is going to get a DM. Are you kidding me? $96?
Yeah, but it only started after that last F-bomb. That's when it begins. Okay. Wait, we record save rounds first and then go. Anyway, so I was recording – or not recording. I was – prepping my house to move and do all that stuff. Annalise doesn't allow me to paint because I'm not a good painter at all. I'd have been terrible in the Navy and having to paint the ships and stuff like that. Not a good painter. So I'm not allowed to. I am, however, responsible to shake the cans up. I'm a shake the cans up guy. Well, she was shaking up these cans because I was downstairs doing something. She had a little white touch-up paint that she had to go to in the cabinets. And she was shaking them up, different types of cans, shaking them up. She was like, hey, this one's bigger. Do you mind shaking it up? And I was like, sure, I'm going to shake it up. She's doing all of them in the living room, right? All of them in the living room.
Oh, my God.
I grabbed the first – she probably did five cans. The first one I grabbed, two shakes. Boom. Fucking paint all over the floor. Like, I'm talking probably an 8-inch by 4 or 5-inch splat of paint right away. And I was like, I'm going to bleep myself. I was like, mother effer, what in the F? Every time you could do it, nothing would happen. You asked me one time, and this is what happened. And now you're pissed off at me because I did exactly what you were doing, and it happened to be this one paint can. And I never, like, raised my voice, but I was so upset at the universe that I was actually, like, elevated talking around my family, which is the first time I've done that in a long time. But I was just so mad, man. Like, isn't that – that's the plight of somebody who tries to be – a really good husband.
Murphy's Law. Mm. It happens.
Can I ask the obvious question, though?
Yeah.
Why wasn't one of your hands over the top?
It was, dude. Like, there was a hole in the top of it. I'll see if I can get it. Somehow, you know, when you hit it with the hammer to close it, I think whoever did it, because it was from, like, 2020 is this paint. We just found it in our garage that matched it. I think whoever hit it with the hammer cracked it on one spot. And that's the reason why it went everywhere. Because I made sure, dude. Like, I hit it on the top.
Yeah.
Because I was like, I know this is going to happen. And I'm thinking it in my head. Because I saw her doing it on the carpet. Mm. And I was like, she shouldn't be doing this. This is a recipe for disaster. And then I saw her do it like 3 or 4 times. And every time I was like, if she spills paint. And this was at like 7:30, 8 o'clock in the day. So we had been doing stuff since like, see that? We've been doing stuff since like 8 a.m. We're talking 12 hours. If she would have got paint all over herself and all over the carpet and all over the hardwood floor, all that, she would have lost her mind. So I was sore after doing all that stuff. It was Murphy's Law. I was tired of it. I'm tired of the weekend. We had people come and take the pictures of the house. Buying a house, selling a house is awful. I'm probably going to whine about it for like a month. I'm sure Kate will be too when she's getting all of her stuff.
I got to hide my cat on Thursday. The landlord's coming through, and I have to bring him, I think, into the office. and like put them in the yak room. I don't know what to do.
Where's your spaceship that I got you?
I have it. I guess I'll put him in there. I don't know what to do. So, yeah, I got to hide my cat. So, yes, it's stressful.
What does it matter at this point? Is he going to kick you out?
It's the lease says, like,
security deposit.
Oh, security deposit, yeah.
Security deposit, and it costs, like, $100 if he catches you with the cat per month that you keep him there. It's $150, so I don't know. I just don't feel like paying that.
I don't know. This cat just walked in today.
I've never seen this guy before.
Who's this?
Yeah.
Who's that? Is that yours?
I remember this cat's from the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
All right, well, we'll see you guys next week. It's On the Retreat.